Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zufa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
Welcome to another Thursday of Cage Zombies Radio. I am Spencer. Obviously, you're not hearing the typical voice of Matthew right now. Matthew is busy vacationing with his lovely girlfriend. So joining me tonight is the honorary third member of Cage Zombies Radio, Kari Richardson. How are you doing tonight, Kari?
I am doing fabulous, and as always, very excited to be on the show.
It's nice to have you back, Kari. I always enjoy doing episodes with you, both of you, Matthew and yourself. It's always a fun time, and what an episode we do have tonight. I just want to say, just kind of teasing you guys out there that are listening, the combined record of these three guests tonight are 50-8. Joining us first at 10-10 is Daniel Strauss, the former Bellator featherweight champion. Up next, Cody Bollinger. Of course, he's on the Ultimate Fighter 18. He fought for World Series of Fighting. He fought for Bellator. He's fought in the best promotions in the world. And then ending the night, and Kari has told me this gentleman has a lot to say, so I can't wait for this interview. Former guest of ours, Ben Sergeant. He is, since the last time we talked to him, he is 3-0. He is a 3-0 professional, and it doesn't get any better than this. This is a great episode.
It most definitely is.
Yeah, and Kari came through. She got some kick-ass guests, so it makes it easier on us. We get to sit back, ask a few questions, and just let them steal the show. But before we get started, let's go ahead and thank the sponsors of Cage Zombies Radio. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do this. The great MMAMadhouse.com. We are an MMA Madhouse production. Jax Media, Draco Impact Sports, Intimidation Clothing, Crossroader Clothing, Pro-Am Belts, and Christopher's Fight. Those are our great sponsors, and we couldn't do it without them. And if you're looking for some good MMA this weekend, MMA Madhouse has nonstop results and coverage of Havoc MMA. I just wanted to throw that out there. I know our crew here at MMA Madhouse really wants to get that message out there. It's a great promotion. Check it out. Just go to MMAMadhouse.com. You'll see a bunch of stuff on it this week. And it's going down tomorrow night, I believe. I believe they just had weigh-ins tonight. And all right, we're going to go down... Kari, what do you want to start off with? We can go through lots of stuff that went down this past weekend. We had a kick-ass main event for UFC on Fox 13. World Series of Fighting 16 went down. The Ultimate Fighter finale. And then this weekend we have a UFC card, a Titan FC card, a really good Titan FC card. And, I mean, this is it for the year. I believe this is probably going to be the last episode we do this year. There's not too many more big MMA events. There's a New Year's Day event that I'm looking forward to, that I look forward to every year. But the next big fight card isn't until January 3rd, and that's John Jones versus Daniel Cormier. Of course, they've been hyping that one up for a while now. That one, I have to say, I'm actually looking forward to that one, Kari. How about you?
I am looking forward to it. I think if it gets pushed off any further, it's going to probably run a little thin as far as the storyline is going. But I'm pretty interested to see how this actually plays out. I mean, with all the heat that's between the two guys, you would think they would come in and it would be something really intense. But as we've seen Jon Jones do in the past, something that you think is going to be intense ends up being quite a pretty dominant performance by him. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of Daniel Cormier.
Really? Really?
I am. Not what I'm saying. I think he's going to win, but...
I differ with you on that one. I don't know why I'm disliking Cormier after all of this. I know it's not his fault. They're both equally to blame for all of these shenanigans. They've sold a fight. I mean, that's what they're paid to do, I guess. They're selling this fight well. A lot of people are looking forward to it. But you made a great point. This fight was supposed to happen a while ago. And if it gets pushed back anymore, and I hope it doesn't, that'd be awful. But that wouldn't be the worst thing that's happened to the UFC as of recent. The lawsuit, class action lawsuit, Kari knows more information about that, so I'm going to let her take it away. Break it down. Get us up to date on it, Kari.
Well, I think that it's probably been a long time coming as far as the lawsuit goes. I know recently... they finally released the names of some fighters that are going to be involved in it. You have Kung Lee, which I expected as soon as the Reebok deal came out and he mentioned that he wanted released immediately and all of this, but apparently, and they're talking multi-million dollars. You also have John Fitch and Nate Quarry involved in it. I think are the only three fighters they've released name-wise so far. But apparently this company is quite good at what they do. I've seen that they have recent lawsuits. Some are saying that they've won. Some are saying they're still in progress against Google, Apple, Dow Chemicals, I think Intel. So these are some big names that these guys have gone up against. And, I mean, the UFC, yes, they've got plenty of money. They can probably back themselves up just fine. But from the way it sounds, they're going against some wolves here. And I think that in some aspects, I do agree, because you're taking away some individuality of fighters. You're taking away from them while not compensating them at the same time. So in many ways, you're pulling them down whenever they're your money makers. I like to see it coming in. I mean, I think the UFC's had a really bad year. This is probably the last thing they wanted. I think I saw that their profits were down 40% this year. It was only projected they'd be down 30. Now they're suddenly down 40. And now you have this coming up. I think they're going to start losing even more money. If you start cutting sponsors out, you're going to lose fighters. Your fighters are what make you your money. You need to think a little bit more. And it's kind of easy to look through the fact that I've read several articles that Dana White says he's not going to be the UFC will not make money off of this Reebok deal. Well, we know the UFC is very interested in making money, and you sign a six-year contract with somebody, I think that somewhere you're going to profit at some point. But I think until more details come out, more fighter names come out, we'll have to just see how it plays out and what's actually going on as far as this lawsuit's concerned.
This is exactly why I'm having you break it down, Cara. You know a lot more about it than I do, and very interesting stuff. Thank you for enlightening the rest of us who kind of just glance over the headlines and don't really read that much into it, at least yet. There's definitely some big steps to come, and there's going to be some big news there.
Most definitely. I mean, if you're, I don't know how you can do some of the things you're doing whenever, I don't understand, your fighters need to be taken care of, not You know, if you want to use like court lingo, they say they're being accused of, I guess, of illegally maintaining monopoly power by systematically eliminating competition from rival promoters, suppressing your fighters' earnings from bouts. Their merchandising and marketing is going to just plummet. So it's between their contracting, which if you look into the UFC, their contracts are very restrictive, and anything else exclusionary, which I think is kind of stemming from the Reebok stuff. I think this is really kind of, I'd say the lawsuit's been in work, but the Reebok stuff really set everything off.
I would agree with that. And we'll get more into it later if you have more to say, but right now I'm going to play a few ads, and we're going to get Daniel Strauss on the line, because I know a lot of people want to hear from this guy. He's a former champion. He's on his way back up, so we'll get him on the line. But first, here are a few ads from our great sponsors.
Confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Alrighty, Cage Zombies Radio listeners, we are joined live by the one and only Daniel Strauss. Daniel, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing very well myself, Daniel. It's an honor to have you on, as I told you behind the scenes. But we're live now, and I know a lot of people are listening in. Just tell us about this upcoming fight with Patricio Pitbull Ferrer. Obviously, it's a rematch. Obviously, you're on your way back to that title that was yours. Just tell us your build up to this fight.
Well, it's a long time coming. You know, it's just another step in my career in the forward direction. You know, it's been a little bit of hype, but it should be a lot of hype. You know, he's a great fighter. I'm a great fighter, and it's just going to be a war. You know, he's a guy that brings it. I feel like I'm a guy that brings it, and you know, it's a fight that I've been looking forward to, like I said, for a long time. And I'm glad to do it again, and I'm definitely glad to do it for a belt. So I'm blessed, man. You know, I'm more than ready. I'm more than excited for this fight, and I'm just ready to take it to him.
Now, how big is it for you, motivation-wise, that you've already held that belt? How does that drive you to get back there?
It's a lot. It drives me a lot, man. Each step in my career, it's been one thing. It's always just been forward. You know, a lot of people look at it as, oh, you had the belt, but you lost it. You know, losing it was a step back, and now you got to get it back. For me, I look at it, you know, it was just a step forward for me. You know, I got to see what it was like to hold a belt and you know, everything that came with it. And, you know, to be knocked off that stool and have to grind back, it's motivating for me. You know, it lets me know where I can be and where I should be. And I'm not a mediocre guy. You know, I'm one of the best out here. So to hold that belt again, it means everything. I know I can hold it, and I'm more than confident that I will hold it. So Yeah, you know, having that belt before just lets me know where I need to be at.
And while on the subject of driving factors, I read an article that Pitbull had recently called out Joe Warren. Do you think this was just a publicity stunt or a strategy to move away, actually having a rematch, a new fight with you? How did that drive you, him actually wanting someone else and who would naturally be the one that deserves the fight?
Honestly, it just made me smile. It just made me realize what I've always known. You know, no disrespect to any of the other guys, but hey, you get a belt, you got to fight that. You got to fight that next guy. Nobody's looking for you to drop down and fight another guy in another weight class. And you know who's next. I'm next. You know, and so what are you worried about Joe Warren and his belt for? You know, you want his belt, drop that weight and go down there. You know, so I'm not saying that he's scared, but you know. He would rather fight Joe Warren before he fights me. That's for damn sure. So it doesn't matter who he wants to call out. I'm here, you know, and I'm not going anywhere. You know, I don't care who he calls out. And that's just how I felt about that. And I thought it was pretty shitty. I'm sorry. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, I thought it was pretty lame. You know, I thought it was just. You know, it was a ducking factor. You can say that. You know, I didn't get a belt and then call out Dantes. You know, I look for the next guy in my weight class. So, yeah, you know, it just proves what I feel.
And to move on further from there, talking about the next guy and in your weight class and everything, do you think that after this fight we'll get to see this rematch between you and Pat Curran? I know at your March fight in Hammond, Indiana. I got to be there. I got to see it. I mean, that emotion in that fight, that crowd was on their feet. It was just insane. I think that's something everybody's craving as well. I mean, do we get to see that soon?
You know, I hear Pat has a fight himself, so he obviously has to work his way back to the title just like I did. But I don't care who I fight. You know, I don't care if I have to fight Pat next. I don't care if I fight, you know, whoever. I know I feel like that fight will happen again. So, you know. Sooner or later, it'll happen again. I'm in no rush, you know. If it happens, after this fight, then so be it. You know, I'm going to take it to him like I did, you know, both times since we fought. It really just doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me who I'm fighting. It doesn't bother me, you know, any of that. So to whoever it is, you know, let's get it.
Now, you saying that, are you the type of person to game plan then? If you are having somebody that's specifically great in a certain aspect of the arts?
I don't go in there with the mind. Well, you know, I can't say that. To each fighter, it's different. You know, I've went into some fights without a game plan, and then there's other fighters where, you know, you really have to be careful about what you do. So, you know, and Pitbull's one of those guys, you know how he's going to come out and fight. You know, he's going to throw bombs. He's going to try to take you out. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that. So, you know, with this one, yeah, I've studied a little bit of him. I've studied a little bit of his past fights, our fight when we fought. And, I have looked at some of the tape and, you know, worked around it. So, I'm definitely a fighter that will go and study.
Now, going back to you making your way back to the top, after losing to Pat Curran, you got matched up with Justin Wilcox, and I want to know how big it was for you to go out there and make that statement with that TKO of Wilcox.
It was huge, man. I knew going into that fight I needed to make a statement, period. Rather to get back to the belt or whatever, just to make a statement in general for Bellator, for my fans, for people that watch the sport of MMA. I felt like I needed to come out and show more than what I've been showing. And I think I did a pretty good job of that. You know, I had a lot of pent up frustration, and then I took it out on Justin, and you know, he felt my wrath, and then, you know, it's just gonna keep going that way with the guys that I have to fight, you know.
Bellator is really going through a transitional period, and so far they found success with it. How big is it for you to be a part of that?
It's huge. You know, I've been with them for a while, and, you know, ever since I've been with them, it's just been growing and growing and changing and changing, and it's just been an experience, man. It's been a ride. You know, there's been ups, there's been downs. You know, right now Bellator is being moved in another direction, and I'm all for it. You know, I have great people running it, and, you know, the behind-the-scenes people are all great, and, you know, they're showing a lot of love to everybody, and you know, like I said, pushing Bellator in a new direction and building their fan base, and not just with the company but with their fighters. So, you know, I'm more than privileged to be a part of that, and I really appreciate it.
Not only that, but, I mean, what does it mean for you to still be in that main event spot where you've been with the promotion for a very long time? Despite all the changes they're making, you're still one of their most recognized fighters. How big is that for you?
It's huge, man. It just says a lot for me, man. You know, it means that I'm not going nowhere. You know, I've been fighting a lot of the top guys since I've been there, and, you know, I've been doing very well, and I've had, what, two losses in Bellator, one to Pitbull, one to Curran. So, you know, you throw the best guys at me, I'm still going to be on top. So it just shows, you know, how well that I've developed over the years, you know, and how much I'm still going to be here. You know, I'm not getting old and breaking down and can't fight anymore or anything like that. I'm just still knocking. You know, I'm still knocking at the door, and I'm here. I'm going to stay here for a long time.
For you to actually be where you are, and I think, you know, you haven't really been in MMA your entire life. I think you, like, 5 years or so. Is that correct?
Yep.
You kind of did wrestling back in high school. Did a little bit of wrestling back in high school, I heard. And actually, I saw you were considered by some Ohio wrestlers' media that you were, like, one of the best of the decade in some of their opinions. Do you think that that shaped you going into MMA? I know that you seemed somewhat uninterested. I think you had something where you ran into a friend a few times after moving back from Florida to Ohio and was kind of, like, iffy about getting in the gym. Was it, you know, do you put this on the wrestling background, or is MMA just something completely different for you?
Well, yeah, it was, you know, when I first started MMA, it wasn't something that I planned. It wasn't something that I wanted to do. It was just something I kind of fell into. And, you know, wrestling's always been something that helped mold me as a person, period, you know, and transitioning from wrestling into MMA was quite an experience, and you know, it's helped me. It really has helped me a lot. It's helped me to stay focused. It's helped me to, you know, beat a lot of some of these great, you know, fighters. And wrestling in its own has helped me just keep that athletic and that drive to compete. So yeah, it's been a blessing.
I also read something about how, which I think this is kind of with everything that's been going on in the media, is probably something good to touch on if you'd like to, but that you feel like people sometimes have a wrong perception of you, sometimes based on your appearance and somewhat of a checkered past, and that you want to beat that stereotype. You want people to understand you are intelligent. You do have your head on straight. Some things happen that, you know, you don't plan on happening, and sometimes wrong place, wrong time. And I want to say that I was really – I at one point, seeing different things in the media, you get – you do form opinions. And I know that after I saw you speaking at the Bellator press conference, that you completely moved me. I had goosebumps listening to you talk. I even wrote down a quote that you had said, when it comes to this sport, I give everything I have, everything. I come up here and I have physically nothing left to give. I take nothing away from my opponents. I love Patty's like a brother to me. And if you can't see that emotion inside the ring, I don't know what you were watching. It's things like that that people don't get to see. People don't get to see these conferences, see the emotion in these fighters. And I think that this is a perfect platform that if you want to say something as far as the stereotypes and the perceptions of you, that you should take it. And you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, it's funny, I get a lot of people that, meet me and have sat down and talked with me. And the first thing they say like, wow, hey, you're very intelligent or wow, you're a really nice guy, and it's really amazing because you don't, a lot of people form opinions just because of other people's opinions, and on one hand, it bothers me. On the other hand, it doesn't because, I could tell you all day I don't care what people think about me, which I don't. But, again, you don't want people to, walk around with ill thoughts about you. I like to think of myself as a nice person. I make mistakes just like anybody else does. I've been caught for my mistakes. Some people haven't. I've been in media for bad things, but not in media for the good things I do. So yeah, it's kind of aggravating sometimes. I have a big heart, and the people that know me know that I have a big heart. There's people that tell you all day, like, who, Dan Strauss? Oh man, that guy's the nicest guy I've ever met, And then there's other people that tell you like, oh man, that's just another guy with tattoos and another guy just is out there, but it's just one of those things, you want people to look at you in a good light and you want people to talk well about you. And the only thing you can do is just reach out to as many people as you can and show the good side of you. There's, like I said, there's a lot of people out there that will speak for me and will tell you how good of a person I am. Not just fighting, but just like I said, as a person, I'm a father and, I love my daughter. People tell you how good of a father I am, and whatnot. So it's like, until you know me, don't judge me, don't sit up and write stories about me if you don't know the real story. I understand mm-hmm. that, the media has a job to do, but, on the other hand, selling articles and writing articles, it's all fun and games until you mess with somebody's life. It's all fun and games until you write something and I have 400 people in my inbox talking about how shitty of a person I am. So that's what the fans don't understand. The fans don't understand that we're regular people too. I go out there and I fight my heart out and I train and I do everything to entertain you guys. But with that being said, I'm still human. I'm still a person. I'm still a 30-year-old man that, has a job and has to pay bills and has a family to feed and whatnot. So, I think it's just one of those things.
Very well said, Daniel. And before we let you go, what can we expect to see from you at Bellator 132 on January 16th?
You can expect me to beat the shit out of Patricio. That's what you will see.
That's very well as well. Well,
yes.
Daniel, it was a pleasure having
it.
You on. We loved having you on. This is one of the best interviews we've probably ever had. And before we let you go, let people listening know where they can find you on social media, and go ahead and give a shout out to anybody or any sponsors you want to.
First, I want to say thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure, and I appreciate anybody that supports me. I try to support the people that support me. You guys can find me on anything, Instagram, Facebook, you know, Snapchat, all that stuff. You know, it's all the same. Daniel Strauss with one S. So look for me, and I like to be you know, active with my fans. You know, you write me, say what's up, I'll write you and say what's up and talk with you. You know, people, I get that all the time, like, wow, you actually answered. Like, yeah, bro, why wouldn't I? You know, so, yeah, just if you're a fan and you support me, I really appreciate it. And yeah, try to reach out to me. I'll try to do my best to reach out back to you.
That's awesome, man. And any sponsors, any shout-outs you want to give?
None right now, but you know, hopefully something to come.
All right, man. We'll contact some people for you, man.
Do that. Hey, show me some love, people.
Yes.
Definitely a fighter that goes out and puts on performances that are memorable. So I think they'll be once we say who it is, I think they'll be all over you, man.
For sure.
All righty, Daniel. You have a nice night, man. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
Bye. All righty, folks. That was Daniel Strauss. You can see him taking on Patricio Pitbull Ferrer at Bellator 132. And that last quote, if you didn't hear it, he claims he's going to beat the SHIT out of Pitbull. So, man, this is going to be a great one. This is a rematch. Pitbull beat him the first time, but Daniel has gotten a lot better since then. And, man, as I was telling you, Corey, he's 9-2 for Bellator. This is a guy that Bellator is going to keep having back for a while. And this is a guy that, if he gets that belt again, he could hold on to it for a while.
I agree 100%. He's so intense, and he really does put his all when he's out there. And it's a good show for the fans. It's a good technical display of mixed martial arts. I mean, it's all around. It's just absolutely great, and I can't wait until January 16th.
Yeah, I believe that's Bellator's first event of 2015, so what a way for Bellator to kick it off. I know Marius Zaromskis is on that fight card, as well as Houston Alexander, a few other fights. We'll go over that more, obviously, when the time gets closer, but some events this weekend to talk about before we're joined by Cody Bollinger in a few moments. Titan FC 32 going down in Lowell, Massachusetts. We had the honor to talk to Jorge Rivera last week, who's going to be announcing, obviously, a UFC veteran that was in some wars. But Desmond Green versus Steven Seiler, they weighed in today. Desmond Green was overweight, and guess what he did? He shaved off the dreads, and he weighed in on weight. He cut off the dreads.
Oh, that's great. See, that's funny because we didn't bring that up, but Daniel Strauss had to do that once, actually, as well.
That is true. That is a great point. We should have missed
yes.
opportunities.
Yep.
I do. Kari, that's hilarious. I knew somebody else in the fight game had to do that.
Yes,
and,
it was him.
Daniel Strauss sports pretty dope dreads. So Desmond Green
absolutely
had to do the same thing. And this is for the vacant featherweight title. So obviously if you miss weight, you're not going to be able to fight for the title. This guy is dedicated. You're not going to want to miss this. This is tomorrow night. It's going down on CBS Sports. Rick Hahn versus Carlo Prater as the co-main event. Ryan Quinn versus Milan Zerzhal. Nick Hornstein versus Iliard Santos. And Andre Harrison versus Aaron Nouve. That's opening up the fight card. So five fights. You're not going to miss it. Titan FC 32 going down tomorrow night on CBS Sports. There's a few other events. We'll go over those a little bit later. But for now, I think we're going to play a song, and then we're going to be joined by Cody Bollinger. So it's just a matter of finding a song, Kari. This is the hardest part. I know Matthew and I always stall until we get one. But I think I found one. So when we get back, we will be joined by Cody Bollinger, Tough 18 alumni, fought for World Series of Fighting. What's he going to do next? Don't go anywhere. We will hear from him.
Oh, face, but I will, cause somebody gotta put you in your place. I'm not afraid to scream and shout and freak out and throw my hands up and let it out. Punk bitch walking tall like you got something to prove. Nah, man, cause deep down you know it's supposed to be you. Big way of fiction, making small steps and passing, but the pain is bigger than it seems. Stop holding me under and let me
Alrighty, folks, that was Stingray Affliction by Issues. And now we are joined by Cody, the Cali Cowboy Bollinger. Cody, how's it going tonight?
I'm doing great, man. How you guys doing?
Doing great. We just wrapped up an interview with Daniel Strauss, and if it doesn't get any better than that, we're joined by you now.
Right on, man. I like Daniel. He's a great fighter, man.
He is. Exciting to watch, as are you. And you're coming off of a huge head kick win after your stint with World Series of Fighting. How great does it feel to return to the win column in such an impressive fashion?
Win is always good, man. The fact that, you know, it was, you know, basically a highlight fight just makes it even better, you know. Obviously had a little pent-up frustration and let it out on that guy, and you know, I plan to keep that, you know, ball rolling.
Now that's
very
a,
impressive.
Thank you.
That's a gladiator challenge that you fought for before. Was that just a good relationship that you had that they kind of called you up and gave you that that fight?
Yeah, man. I've known them for a long time. You know, I basically started with them, and you know, the promoter's a great guy. We have great relationship, you know, even years later after not fighting for him. And as soon as me and World Series were over, you know, it was kind of obvious I wanted to get a win, and you know, so he reached out, and I couldn't turn down getting the chance to fight locally one more time.
Well, and to bring back your local and talking about roots, and one thing that I always like to hear is how a fighter actually got their start in MMA. And I believe that I saw your father actually played a big role as far as encouraging you and showing interest in your MMA training. Is that something that made you want to push yourself harder, or is MMA just ingrained inside of you?
You know, I started wrestling as a small kid, and, you know, there is an off-season in wrestling where, you know, there aren't too many tournaments. So to kind of stay active, my dad, you know, put me in jiu-jitsu and MMA, and, you know, it wasn't that popular at the time. So, you know, I was kind of going with bigger guys, adults, you know, pretty much since I was a kid. And, I had a great passion for it. My number one passion is with wrestling, you know, and if I could make the money that I make in MMA, I'd still be wrestling. But unfortunately, you know, that's not the case. And this was the next best step, you know, and my dad's he's really good at keeping me focused, you know, on what I want. And, you know, so he definitely did play a huge role in that.
I think it's interesting that you guys, it seems like you probably push one another. Because I think I read a story about you actually choking him out whenever you were about 13. And it, like, made him. I thought that was kind of comical. Yeah, you know, we always don't get, like, these funny, nice, happy backstories for fighters. So I thought this was something that would be interesting to share. And it actually changed his role as supportive parent, because he decided he's still going to support you, but he wanted to pursue a career in MMA as well, correct?
Yeah, you know, my head coach up until a couple of years ago was Joe Stevenson, and you know, he's actually my godfather, so him and my dad are really close. You know, my dad's kind of a father figure to him, and Joe told me to sneak up on him and choke him. So, you know, it wasn't like we were, you know, scrappling, but I snuck up on him and grabbed a rear naked choke and sunk it in, and he couldn't get out, you know, so he was forced to tap, and that kind of pissed him off a little bit, that a 13-year-old could tap him, you know, and he decided, you know, why not? He had a little wrestling experience, and he was just a really athletic person as a teenager. So, yeah, he jumped into it, and he actually did pretty good. I mean, he started at, 32, 34, I think, and he won a King of the Cage title, and you know, he was doing really well, and you know, maybe even could have gone a little farther. Had some health issues pop up, so he had to retire. But I mean, for as late as he started, 2 years later, being, you know, the King of the Cage champ, when, you know, back at that time, King of the Cage was a good regional promotion. They had legit fighters, and you know, they were kind of the feeders for, not main feeders, but you know, they fed a lot of guys UFC Pride. And so it was a great accomplishment for him, especially on, you know, such a short time.
So at this point, I mean, you're 17-3. You fought for some of the biggest promotions in the world. Do you have a fight lined up?
I'm still working that out, thankfully, you know, and I'm really grateful to all the promotions that reached out to me. I'm kind of working out offers right now. You know, I kind of rushed into my contract with World Series after the Ultimate Fighter because, you know, I was just ready to bounce back and fight. And, you know, I'm not going to make that same mistake again. I really want to take my time, make sure I'm going to be, you know, with the right promotion now. And so I don't have anything set in stone, but you can expect me to fight by February for sure.
Now, is that something that you found after coming off the Ultimate Fighter? Is that a result of that, all these promotions coming to you?
I mean, I had had interest before from Bellator and World Series. They both contacted me before the Ultimate Fighter. And, you know, just it was something that never worked out. I either had a fight already lined up or something like that, you know. And, but, you know, some of the other promotions that have contacted me since Ultimate Fighter probably never would have happened without that show, you know. And, I mean, we all know how I did on Ultimate Fighter. It didn't go, obviously, the way, you know, I expected it to. But, you know, even with that, so many opportunities have opened up, not just with, you know, promotions. I mean, getting to travel the world and do stuff, you know, like the military tour that I did with Jessamyn Duke, Shayna Baszler, and Darren Cruikshank. We got to go to the Middle East and check out a bunch of bases and, you know, do a bunch of cool stuff. And I really think that was all because of Ultimate Fighter. It really opened up a lot of amazing opportunities for me.
We've interviewed a lot of Ultimate Fighter alumni, and we seem to get the same kind of sense from them. Things are never as they're shown on TV. There's always stuff that they cut out and everything. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that. Like, how did you feel watching it after you were on the show? And what do you take away from that? Like, what is your view on that?
You know, as far as what I took away from the show, you know, I learned never to miss weight for Dana White again. But, you know, as far as the editing, you know, they film 24/7, and, you know, there is a lot of stuff that they didn't show. And, you know, they kind of make, you know, specific characters out of people and build off of that, you know. So if someone's having a bad day and they come off like a jerk, you know, or they have a couple of those, they're going to, you know, make sure you're the asshole of the season, you know. But, at the same time, they also know who's going to do good in the show. You know, the results are already done. They know who's in the finale. And so they also want to edit it to where you're going to want to watch the two people in the finale, you know. So they're going to build off of that. And anything that revolves around them, they're going to edit to make them look, you know, the best way possible. And that's totally understandable, you know. They don't want to build up some guy who, you know, is going to end up missing weight or not even, you know, make it or have to injury default out. So, you know, there is a lot of editing, but it's all necessary. You know, it's it builds up the finale, and it's something that, you know, is totally understandable.
Yeah, obviously you mentioned your background with growing up with the sport, but in today's MMA, it's rapidly changing. It's in today's mixed martial arts world, and for you to be 17 and three at the age of 23, I mean, that's huge because, I mean, we talked about the Ultimate Fighter making you an attractive fighter to different promotions, but this record, I mean, anybody's going to see this and be like, man, we want this guy fighting for our promotion. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about getting so many fights under your belt at such a young age?
You know, I am happy it's that way. You know, I got to start young when the sport wasn't as evolved as it is today. You know, they didn't have amateur fights back then or, you know, amateur league run by the commission. So the guys that I was fighting back then, you know, the fights obviously had to be pro. And but they weren't as evolved as, you know, today. You know, a lot of those guys today would have been amateurs. You know, my first 5-6 fights, those would have been amateurs, to be honest. And you know, so it worked out good. The timing was kind of good that I got to fight some, you know, not so great MMA fighters and get that experience under my belt without taking too many losses. And you know, all that cage time, you know, it's I guess it just depends on how healthy I can stay. You know, if I can stay healthy and injury free, you know, until I'm 35, then, you know, those fights as early on in my career and being so young, it's going to pay off. You know, all that experience, you know, there's guys in the UFC that, you know, have under 10 fights. And, you know, when I make it back there one day, I'm going to have a lot more experience and be ready to go. So it's definitely a positive, as long as I can stay healthy and active.
To touch back on, because you brought up with your stint on Tough about the weight cutting issue, and that, do you think that that's just a circumstance from how, you know, you had an issue with when you were fighting Marlon Moraes because you took the fight on such short notice? Is this a health conscious thing, or is this just kind of like circumstantial, hey, this was the situation, I couldn't really do much about it? Because weight cuts issues are something that really interests me, because I think that there needs to be something different done. We have way too many fighters that are doing very bad things to their health, doing things very dangerously to get to a weight cut. So is this just a risk you don't want to take, or like I said, is it just kind of a circumstantial thing?
I mean, it's a little of both. You know, I don't want to make any excuses for myself. You know, the reason I chose to move up from 35s and compete at 45s now is because of the health behind it. You know, it really, really, really tore my body up every time. And, you know, it just kept getting harder and harder no matter what I did and, you know, how I trained, whatever adjustments I made to my diet. You know, every time I'd get, you know, a certain amount of weight away from 135, my body would kind of shut down. And it got pretty bad, you know, but that's just stuff that I kind of kept private because, you know, I could put it all out there and make excuses and try to make people feel, you know, sympathetic or understand my side of the story, but it's not going to help, you know. It doesn't change the fact that I missed weight. You know, I messed up a good opportunity with the Ultimate Fighter in UFC. And, you know, the main thing is I'm earning my way back, and, you know, now it's just going to be a 45s instead.
Now, Cody, before we let you go, I have one last question, and it's not as serious as that one. You race cars?
not professionally, man. You know, I was a young, impressionable teenager when the whole Fast and the Furious series started. So, you know, it was something I always have liked. And my first car was actually a 64 Thunderbird. And it had a really big engine in it. And, you know, I built that thing together from the ground up. You know, whatever I couldn't do, I paid for with my own money and took it to a shop. You know, as a teenager, actually, that's one of the cool things about fighting when you're 15. You know, I was getting 50% of ticket sales. And I had no bills. You know, I didn't have a girlfriend, so I had no money to spend on anybody but myself. So I got to build a really nice car. And you know, just kept growing from there. Then I owned a Lancer, and then now I got two little quick cars that I'm actually building up right now, man. Like I said, it's not professional. It's more of like an amateur thing. But, yeah, man, I love it. In California, they have the street legal drags, so, you know, I get to take it to the track, not worried about being arrested anymore, getting my car impounded like it was when I used to street race. So it's really cool, you know. My wife supports it. My daughter loves it. She begs me every day to go back to the track. So it's a good hobby, you know, especially when I don't get to fight for 3, 4, 5 months. It keeps me busy, and it's a lot of fun. It's expensive, but it's fun.
So you fight and you build and race cars. That seems like a pretty cool lifestyle.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I love what I do, you know, and I enjoy it. So you know, as long as I'm taking care of my family and paying the bills, I don't see a problem with it.
Well, all right, Cody, man, we appreciate you coming on tonight. I know a lot of people are looking forward to this interview. So before we let you go, give a shout-out to any sponsors and where people can find you on social media.
Awesome. Thank you, man. And before I do, thank you guys very much for approaching me about this. You know, it feels good to do an interview. I haven't done one in a while, and it feels good to just talk about MMA. It's getting me excited to fight. So thank you guys for that. As far as sponsors, I'd like to thank CS Athletics, Rev Gear, Future Energy Savers, and the best Bulldogs in MMA, Unique Kennels. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's all Cody Bollinger, nice and simple, no hashtags or numbers or anything, so hit me up. I'm a friendly guy unless you're a jerk, so.
Well, all right, Cody, man, once again, thanks for joining us. You're always welcome back on the show. We look forward to seeing you fight, hopefully sooner rather than later, and you have yourself a great night.
Hey, thank you, guys. You too.
Thank you.
All righty. Alrighty, folks, that was Cody, the Cali Cowboy Bollinger. Some interesting stuff from him. And it's nice to hear, Kari. It's nice to hear that we get some people pumped to fight again.
It really is. Like, we have had some very nice guests tonight, if I can say so. I mean, they have been really polite, kick-ass interviews, and then being so thankful to be on the show. That's one thing that makes doing something like this really, really worthwhile.
And we still have one more great interview to go. We'll be with Ben Surgeon in about five to six, maybe even 7 minutes. But before that, we mentioned Titan FC 32. But tomorrow morning, why not start your weekend of MMA off with 1FC 24? 1FC always doing the Friday morning MMA shows. I mean, that's just perfect. And we have a little bit of a featherweight tournament going down. So that'll be interesting. 1FC looking to crown their first featherweight champion. And this is going down in the Olympic Sports Center Gymnasium in Beijing, China. So check that one out. Just Google search 1FC. They show their pay-per-views live on their website. You might have to fork over a little bit of cash. But 1FC is catching up there with Bellator, World Series of Fighting in the UFC, so it's an up-and-coming promotion. And then also, Saturday night, UFC Fight Night 58, Machida versus Dolloway. If this had a name to the fight card, I would like to call this as a mismatch because I think Machida is just going to run over Dolloway. But the co-main event, Henan Barral versus Mitch Gagnon, Antonio Carlos Jr. versus Patrick Cummins. It's nice to see that they didn't just bring in Patrick Cummins just to fight Cormier and then kick him out. So I'm happy they're keeping him around. He's either 1-1 or 2-1 with the UFC, and so he gets another fight. This fight card's going down in Brazil. So that's Saturday night. 1FC and Titan FC are tomorrow. That's your weekend of MMA. Last weekend we had some great events, but we'll go over those in a little bit. For now, not getting too much into the World Series of Fighting last weekend, but Kari, I want your opinion on this, and I'm going to ask Matthew this later probably. Probably text him and bother him during his vacation. But Usmar Kalkhares retaining his welterweight belt by, go figure, a leg submission. And in my opinion, he held on to it a little bit. It's funny, I was telling my girlfriend when we were watching it, I was like, this guy's known for holding on to submissions. And then we're watching it, and she's kind of like, oh, isn't he holding on to that one? And I'm like, yeah, he kind of is, because Fitch is tapping. But what did you think of it? Did you think he held on to it too long? Fitch seemed to be okay, and he seemed to be Fitch is. I mean, he's a great athlete, and he's a good sport. So of
Absolutely.
Course he's not going to complain. But what's your opinion on this?
I think it was questionable, not as questionable as some of the submissions that he's pulled off, not so obvious, but I do think it was just a little too long. But it's funny that you and I get another episode involving him, because do you remember whenever we had Steve Carl on? And I asked him, I said, you know, so many people think this, you know, have vilified this man because of the way he holds on too long. And he was like, oh, no, he's a great guy and he's nice. He gets nervous. He gets into what he's doing. But there comes a point where sorry's don't matter anymore. Heat of the moment doesn't matter anymore. We have, from what I've counted, seven questionable submissions where he's possibly held them too long, and some resulting in injury, like to Mike Pierce, whenever he got cut from the UFC, he held on to that heel hook too long, and Mike Pierce got injured. It wasn't long after that. He was suspended 90 days by the New Jersey Athletic Commission for a hold against, I can't remember what his name was. It was foreign. I think it was like Dwall or something to that effect. But I read that the California State Athletic Commission is not going to punish him. They are saying they've watched it over and over again, and that they are now not going to take any action against the Brazilian fighter. I think Ray Sifo was even saying that his submission was perfectly clean, but I think that Sifo probably covering his own ass. This is a big, you know, big main event as far as that's concerned. They need these fights. So I don't know. But a little bit too long.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it was we're in the same boat here. I think it was a little bit too long. And I've heard you and I had the great opportunity of interviewing Steve Carl, and I believe what he's saying. I do believe, because I've heard this from other fighters, that he backstage is nervous. He's a quiet guy, even though he looks like he could lift him in a semi-truck.
Oh,
but
my God, he's a beast. He's like the Hulk,
yeah,
the Brazilian Hulk. I mean, yeah.
Exactly, the Brazilian Hulk, yes. But I don't think this warrants a punishment. I agree with the Athletic Commission. I think it wasn't that long. I think he's starting to get better. But, man, this is a submission that you do not want to play around with, because this is somebody's career on the line if you hold on to it for too long. And hopefully he gets better at it, because this is his go-to move. He's won countless bouts with this submission. It's fun to watch. The aftermath of it's the scary part. So hopefully he gets it under control. He's a good champion for World Series of Fighting. But he needs to watch it. When you're notorious for something like that, even holding on for an extra second, people are going to criticize you. And I want this to be on the record. We're not criticizing him. I just wanted your opinion on whether or not you felt like he held it too long, and I think we agree it was a little bit too long, but he's getting better.
And the thing is he already has a target on his back for this. You know, this is what he's kind of become known for. So I think every time he goes to pull off a submission attempt like this, people are going to overanalyze and criticize it. That was too long again. Well, I mean, yeah, it was very close. But I don't think, like you said, I don't think it was close enough to go into any type of suspensions, punishments, fines, whatever they may actually hand out to him.
As I said, I think we're in the same boat here. And it's a perfect time to wrap up, because we are about to be joined by Ben Sergeant, 3-0 in 2014. What a great year for him. And he did so in impressive fashion, one decision, one KO, one rear naked choke. So we're going to be joined by him after you hear from these ads.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Pro-Am Championship Belt, who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championship, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am Championship Belts, proambelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am Belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am.
All righty, folks. We are live with Ben Sergeant, the man who is on fire in 2014. How's it going tonight, Ben?
Woo! I'm doing good, man. You?
Explain.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Kari?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to have you on again. I believe the last time we had you on, you were scheduled to make your pro debut. You have just racked up the wins this year, 3-0, very impressive wins. How does that feel?
It feels good. It feels like I put my mind to I put my body to what my mind can told it to do. So. It feels pretty good. End of December. It's middle December right now. My goal was to be 5-0 before this year was up, but, you can't really rely on, you know, other people as much as you want to. And then I couldn't take the fight in October because I had such a deep laceration to my face. In my August fight, so I had to take off October. So 3-0, I guess I'll take it.
Well, it's very impressive, and you brought up the fact that you can't always depend on other fighters. That's one thing you've had an issue with. You've had it seems like you always have obstacles, but you find ways to overcome them, like doing your 3-0 this year, maybe short of your 5-0, but still. Kick-ass record, but you always seem to have opponents dropping out. Recently we had, which is very sad, definitely for anybody that follows any type of MMA in and around Kentucky, with Bluegrass Brawl getting on the back burner. I'm not really sure. I think the last thing I heard that they are promotions up for sale, but I'm sure that they're not putting on any kind of any events at this time. Like, so where does this put you? What do you have coming up? How are you going to move forward?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, I was going to touch base on that. And the thing is with Bluegrass Brawl, I was wanting to maintain a relationship with a promotion and to build my resume as well as my fan base with one organization. And it showed very dominantly in my last fight where people just, we packed the place because people wanted to see Ben Sergeant. Just, I didn't even know these people, you know, and they've seen me, you know, three fights in. And they said, I want to go see this guy. This guy's fighting again. I'm very good at promoting fights, my own fights. So I got my name out there, interviews, radio, TV, you know, what have you, but I really wanted to stick with an organization and really stay with them and not be their golden boy as much because, you know, it's kind of hard to say. And for a golden boy, you kind of get fed fights, and I don't get fed fights. But, you know, I would like to stick with the organization. Right now, I'm kind of up for grabs. I've had some organizations contact me, and if something doesn't come through, we're going to figure something out in March to fight. But right now, I'm at the drawing boards. I'm working with Rob Nickerson, which is my coach, and we're just working on technique and tightening up my game, my stand-up, my ground, and really pushing wrestling really strong. That's always a huge thing in the mixed martial arts world, so working on that.
Ben, have you ever thought about fighting over here in Ohio?
I'd love to. I mean, if there is an organization, a pretty good organization there that could we could see eye to eye to, the pay would be halfway decent, and they would be willing to keep me and not just have me fight and go somewhere else, you know? I would like to be able to stick to an organization. And not only that, I would also like to stick with an organization and also bring in a very talented teammate of mine to fight on the cards as well, you know?
Oh, man, so, I have a few organizations in mind. I might have to message you after this interview.
Heck, yeah, I would love them. I'd love to be able to talk to you about that, and hopefully if they're listening, they know right away I'm the man. really exciting, man. I'm very excited about, you get very few people in life that are able to say something and actually be able to capture that. And that's what my fighting career is, and I'm just pushing forward. I'm taking smart fights to where it's a challenge to me and it's a challenge to that opponent. And I'm really growing, and each time I fight, it's, you know, I feel like I'm getting better, and I have other, you know, people, critics saying, hey, man, you're getting better each time. Each time I see you fight, you're getting better and better, and it's amazing. So it feels pretty good to be able to do that and say that. So,
what do you think it was that kind of helped get your mind, and like you said, your mind kind of wrapped in with your body as far as, I'm going to do this now, I'm focused? Was it, I know you switched gyms a little bit,
yeah,
right around the time I think you were making your pro debut. Do you think that it was just a new atmosphere? And like you said, you do have some amazing teammates around you. Does this help?
I agree.
Does that make quite the difference?
Yeah, absolutely. And I did. It was either go back out west to California. I was actually going to go to Millennia. You actually had Bollinger on the show. He actually trains in Millennia. I was actually going to go there and train with Lorenz Larkin again, or I was going to try to find a place closer to home. And, you know, I connected with Rob Nickerson, which is my coach, and he's a very intelligent guy. He knows the business from what he's done wrong and what he would fix, and also what he has learned through the years. So having that knowledge and that kind of expertise really helps. And, you know, that's why I really stuck with him. So that's a big one. And on top of that, what my mindset is I say it all the time on Facebook. I say it all the time on Facebook. I stick to the original game plan. That's my quote. I live by it. You have to stick to the original game plan. Why did you originally do this? Why do you originally want to do, you know, whatever it is? And you just got to stick with it, no matter what kind of mind games your mind plays on you, no matter what, you know, what your body does, if you're injured, this and that, stick to the original game plan. And no matter what negative people tell you, oh, this is dangerous, this will do this, this will do that, you can't listen to anybody but yourself. You have to stick to the original game plan. And I think that's very very important for myself to connect with, and other fighters as well. I mean, if you have any young fighters listening out right now, and it's something to really take into consideration. So,
well, and it sounds like a very intelligent game plan as well. People don't always do that, and you can see that it leads to some downfalls, and you are obviously still on the rise. If, you know, like you said, you're kind of at the drawing board at this point, you're looking for promotion that you want to make a permanent stand in, a possible fight in March. But besides that, if you had to do kind of something just to fill the time for now, is there you know, any kind of opponent you're looking for, any kind of, you know, anybody in particular that's been running their mouth or trying, you know, anybody that you want out there.
Anybody in particular that's on my shit list? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. I know that you're pretty.
If I could say that.
Yeah.
You're fine.
You know, I did an interview before my first pro fight, and the word of the interview was relevant. I wanted to be relevant. As a professional fighter, I wanted to be relevant. And I'm starting to do that. I'm still a small tuna can to all these, you know, to everybody, but still it's I'm becoming relevant. And the people that have been calling me out, you know, they're not relevant. You know, it's kind of limited to call people out because they really don't matter. And the thing is if you put all your focus on people that don't matter, you're going to take all the focus away for the people that do matter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't focus on that. What I do want is I for my next challenge, I do want, I would like to challenge myself and fight a striker. I wouldn't mind fighting a striker. My first pro fight was against a wild man that, you know, goes berserk and ends up taking you to the ground. My second fight was against a guy that was 6'6", and he was stand up, and he was just a survivor, you know. And my last fight, he was the Terminator that had a black belt. You know, he just walked forward and hunt you down, and you know, I've conquered that. And my next goal would like to see a stand up guy standing across the octagon from me, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
You mentioned earlier that you're working on your wrestling game because and you're very correct in the fact that it's always important.
Yes.
Do you think once you get this a good wrestling background, a good little bit of training in there, that you will be as well-rounded as you want to be?
The thing is with being well-rounded is it's not necessarily it is about training it and being about it, you know, always, you know, training, do jiu-jitsu, do wrestling, do, you know, Muay Thai, do boxing, make sure your hands are right, make sure everything's right. But also it's the mindset, you know, it's also getting in that cage and remembering, oh, don't forget this, you know what I mean? Like, don't forget about that single leg, you know, don't forget about that double leg. Don't forget about, you know, wrapping the ankles in good, you know, flaring your elbows out, you know, just different things. It's about implementing it into your game, and that's something that I'm still grasping psychologically when I get in that cage. You know,
mm-hmm.
I do like to go in there and punch the complete hell out of somebody and see that, how that works. But also you can't forget about implementing everything that you do know. And I feel like I am a well-rounded fighter, but I just have to implement and get into those circumstances to show I am. So
I know that you always have, you know, you're always fun to talk to because you have a great MMA mind.
Yep.
As far as the business aspect goes, the sport goes and everything. And I just was curious, is there anything that in particular that you would want to talk about or kind of put out there tonight?
I would hopefully me speaking alone does a lot. I would really love to get picked up by a good organization that would be willing to work with me and to hopefully see eye to eye and really grow, because honestly what I'm wanting to do is I want to work with an organization that wants to grow and that is growing as much as they want to see their fighters grow. And you know what's great, when I was coming up as an amateur, these, you know, these pro fighters around town, they were, you know, they were all fighting and they were able to say, hey, that guy, you know, stay tuned to the UFC tonight. That guy, such and such, was on our local fights. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to be able to be that guy, and I would like to be that guy for an organization, because honestly, I do see myself in the UFC. And I know that's a childhood dream, and I know that everybody says it, and it's so easy for everybody just to spit it out on Facebook, over the phone to their mommy, and to all their buddies drinking and whatnot. But I am dead serious, and when you come to the gym and watch me train, watch me do everything I do, you will see that. You would see, okay, this guy is serious. I would like to invest my time and invest, you know, furthermore into this guy to have a UFC fighter that did fight on my show.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I really want to make sure I get out there, and hopefully I do connect with something, somebody, somewhere, somehow.
Well, I think Spencer will be able to help you with that.
As I said, there's a few great promotions here in Ohio. More specifically, NAAFS. We just interviewed Daniel Strauss on this episode. He came out of there. Obviously, he's fighting for Bellator now. They've also produced the like Stipe Miocic, who just fought on UFC on Fox. They produced Jessica I. Also, Brian Rogers, who has the number one knockout for Bellator of all time. So I'll try to contact some people with that organization. There's also IT Fight Series, which just had two Ultimate Fighter veterans fight on their last fight card. So we'll see what we can do for you. And, I mean, you definitely have the pedigree to attract these organizations. So we'll see what we can do.
You know, I have a pedigree for it, and I'm incredibly good-looking, so, you know, it's a win-win situation.
He looks just like Matthew McConaughey.
See, and I got the long hair. You should see, Kari, my hair is super long right now.
Is it? It's been too long since I've seen you.
I know. It's fabulous. You got to see it. I tell you what, it's so long, I put it in a ponytail now.
Oh, wow.
Well, I actually let loose and went out with a teammate, and this guy at the bar, I guess he wanted to fight me. I guess he saw a guy with a man bun in, or whatever he called it. I guess a ponytail man bun. Well, I guess he wanted to fight me or something. It's a new nickname. I'm not a curly haired faggot anymore. I'm a man bun faggot now. It was good. It was a new nickname for me. So
gotta love the haters.
Yeah.
I don't recommend walking out to the cage with that nickname.
No.
Hey man, that's a pretty bold statement if you do.
It is.
Well, all right then, like I said, see what we can do for you, man. You're always welcome on the show. You're always fun to talk to. And before we let you go, give you a chance to give a shout out to anybody you want to and where people can find you on social media.
Yeah, find me. I don't do Twitter or anything, but Facebook, I have a million names. It's Willis Benjamin Ray Sargent. The last name Sargent, S-E-R-G-E-N-T. Look me up, add me, poke me, message me. It doesn't matter. I'm a very friendly individual. I'd like to shout out to all my teammates. I got Q Parks fighting February 7th. Got Matt Metz fighting January 31st, as well as Josh Cooper. Me and Rob Covington are looking for a fight most likely fight in March, fight for turf wars, if anything. Shout out to my coach, Rob Nickerson. He's an awesome guy and really helping me out. My old coach, I'd like to shout out to Rock Cruz. He's like a father figure to me, and he's really helped me out. And I'd like to shout out to my mom too. She's listening right now, and she's going to tell me how good I did in the interview. hopefully I do get something going. If anything, I will be fighting in turf wars, and just looking for an equal. I'm not looking to be the toughest guy in the world. You know, I'll wait for big and tough fights like that in the UFC. You know, I'm 3-0. I could fight a guy that's equal as me. You know, I'm not trying to look for a guy that's 10-0, 12-2. Those dudes should be in the UFC. I'm not trying to fight guys that should be in the UFC that just won't be allowed to go in. You know what I mean? So let's keep that under our hats.
Well, all right, Ben. You have yourself a great night. We'll see what we can do for you. You'll be getting a message from me in the next day or so.
Yes, sir, Spencer and Kari. Long time no see. Let's go get some coffee sometime.
Absolutely. We'll have to do it. I have to see this hair, and we need to catch up. Plus, if you're going to be Q Parks, is he doing that Hard Rock event February 7th?
Yes, ma'am. He's fighting me.
I shall be there.
Yeah, he's a fighting a tough guy out of Indiana. I forgot his name. I was supposed to research him and spar like him this Saturday, so I gotta fight Southpaw.
Oh, nice.
That sucks.
All right,
man.
It was great talking to you.
All right. I'll talk to you all later. Take care.
Have a good night.
Take care, Ben.
All right, bye.
All righty, folks. That was Ben Sargent, and he is looking for a fight. Man, 3-0, trains with some hard-hitting veterans. I can't imagine that too many organizations would pass on this guy. So we'll keep you posted on Cage Zombies Radio's Facebook page. If you haven't liked that already, go like that. We'll post how he's doing, when he gets a fight, and hopefully we'll have him back on the show. Kari, he's definitely a great fighter.
He is, and a great guy. He really is.
Yeah, he sounds like it, and I've seen some stuff about his fights, and obviously last time we talked to him making his professional debut, it was hard to imagine at that time he'd be this successful, so it's nice to see that. And as Matthew and I said on last week's show, man, people that come on Cage Zombies Radio, they do great. We have a great win percentage. If you come on our show and then you have a fight in the next month or so, you'll do great. And to transition with that, we interviewed Lance Palmer last week. We already talked about Usamar Paul Harris defending his welterweight title. Well, Lance Palmer, who we interviewed last week, just won the featherweight title against Rick Glenn at World Series of Fighting 16. He was the co-main event, won by rear naked choke, and he totally dominated that fight. I already can't wait to see him defend his belt. Also on that card, Shaman Moraes defeated Gabriel Solario. Josh Berkovich defeated Brinson Hansen, and Luis Gonzalez defeated Justin Buchholz. Buchholz is one of the Team Alpha Male members, but that was World Series of Fighting 16 last week. Obviously, there was a big UFC event, UFC on Fox, that went down, Dos Santos versus Miocic, and man, that was a great main event. Kari, did you get the chance to watch that one?
I haven't yet. I have it DVR'd, but I did not get to watch it, and I have heard just fantastic things about it.
Well, one of in the beginning of the card, it went through a little bit of a skid with Jamie Varner losing and retiring. He took Drew Dober down. And he kind of like slammed down to the ground and kind of got knocked out for a second, and Dober
knocked
submitted
him
with a naked choke. So Varner
kind of knocked
retired
himself out on that one, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a tough way to go. But he said he actually just posted a video on Facebook of him telling Anthony Burschak, this was filmed before his fight, that this was his last fight, win or lose. He wanted to end it in his hometown of Phoenix, Arizona. So he got a reception. He got teary-eyed. Of course he's going to get a reception. He's a veteran. He's been around this sport for a long time, WEC legend. And it's tough to see him go. I didn't get to meet him. I got to see him spar in person. But it's tough to see him go. We wish him the best with training and everything. And then the other part of the skit was Ben Saunders and Joe Riggs. This was a really big fight. Ben Saunders making his second stint in the UFC. He started that off with the Omoplata win, and this was his second fight. Joe Riggs, this was his first fight since, like, 2005 in the UFC. And Joe Riggs got slammed on his neck wrong, and he said his arm went numb. And so he tapped out from that. Ben Saunders was working on another Omoplata, and that's what I thought he was getting. But Riggs was forced to tap because he lost feeling in his arm. That's a dangerous situation. Hopefully we'll see a rematch for that one. Rounding out the prelims, John Moraga versus Willie Gates. There was some controversy in that. Willie Gates punched Moraga when Moraga was arguing with the ref. But the ref, Jason Herzog, did say fight on. And so I think Gates was okay in the situation. He didn't break any rules. This is a matter of ethics. But Moraga, either way, got the rear naked choke win. And he is a staple in that flyweight division. It sucks because he lost to Mighty Mouse, and he's kind of in title limbo. But he's kind of clearing it out. And then the featured prelim was Joanna Jędrzejczyk versus Claudia Gala. And that was for the number one contender fight. That was the next for the next woman who was going to fight against Carla Esparza for the strawweight title. And Joanna won by split decision, so that'll be interesting. She's 8-0, so it's going to be Joanna versus Carla Esparza now. And then the main event, the main card, Kari, if you don't want to see these spoilers, or I'm sure you've already read them, close your ears.
Oh, yeah.
But Matt Mitrione, a nice TKO over Gabriel Gonzaga. It won him one of the fight night bonuses. Alistair Overeem finally showing what he can do with a knockout of Stefan Struve. I think Stefan Struve, I don't think he's going to be the same for a while, coming off of that heart condition. He lost his father. It's been a tough year or so for him. Co-main event, Rafael Dos Anjos just completely dominating Nate Diaz with nasty leg kicks. Dos Anjos, it was announced afterwards that he's going to be the next one to fight Anthony Pettis in the lightweight division for the lightweight title, not Khabib Nurmagomedov. Nurmagomedov is coming off an injury, and he would not be ready in time. And then the main event, Junior Dos Santos versus Stipe Miocic. I mentioned Stipe in the Ben Surgeon interview. Stipe is coming out of Ohio. He was an NAAFS fighter. I've actually seen him in person. He put up a great fight, but Dos Santos was just too much for him. They set a significant strike record, but Dos Santos getting the unanimous decision, that was fight of the night. It was a pretty good fight card, and I know Matthew and I were pretty pumped about it, and it lived up to its expectations. So that was UFC on Fox 13. Kari, you need to watch that one. You got to watch it. It's worth it, even if you know the results. Those fights were pretty good. And as I said, Carla Esparza is the strawweight champion. That went down last Friday, the Ultimate Fighter 20 finale. She beat Rose Namajunas in the third round by rear naked choke. And a lot of people were kind of jumping on the Rose hype train. And I said Carla's going to out-wrestle her. I didn't expect her to strike with her as well as she did, but she looked good. Charles Oliveira looked good against Jeremy Stephens. He got the win. He needs to make weight, though. If he's going to fight at that weight class, and I believe it was at featherweight, but I'm not sure. He missed weight again. Darren Cruikshanks, a no contest against KJ Nunes, accidental eye poke. Cruikshank had to get surgery on his eye. I believe, from what I've heard, it went well, so he's good. I'm happy to hear that. Cruikshanks is a hell of a fighter. He's fun to watch, throws some crazy spinning stuff. Yancy Medeiros, coming from the Diaz brothers training camp, looks good. Another impressive win against Joe Proctor this time. It was a spinning kick that dropped Proctor, and then Medeiros finished it off with a guillotine. Jessica Penne and Randa Marcos was the first fight of the night. Penne getting the split decision win over Randa Marcos. I thought Penne won it outright, unanimous, but it was a close one. I like Randa. I can't wait to see her back in there. And Jessica looked awesome. So it's interesting to see this women's strawweight division. I can't wait to see where it goes from here. What are your thoughts on the division, Kari?
I am super, super excited for it, and I think the talent is just absolutely stacked. I think they're going to provide some really amazing fights.
Yeah, I think so too. They've already shown some of that with the season. I don't think it was as exciting as people thought, but with that being said, it was still very interesting. It's going to be interesting seeing how this division develops. It's always fun to watch women's MMA, and that's about it for us, Kari. Unless you have something else.
No, I think we absolutely killed this show, and that's a perfect way to end it.
I agree. As I said earlier in the night, check out Havoc FC. The weigh-ins are good. They're all done. Go check it out on MMAMadhouse.com. It's a great fight organization going down tomorrow night. The main event, Andrew Buckland versus Jordan McKay. Don't want to miss that. MMA Madhouse has that covered from top to bottom, as well as all your local MMA needs. So if you're ever trying to see a fighter that's on a smaller fight card and you don't know where to turn to, MMAMadhouse.com as well as GFL. I want to give a thanks to all of our guests again. Daniel Strauss, great to hear from him. Cody Bollinger, it'll be interesting to see who picks him up. He's definitely one of the best free agents out there. And then, of course, Ben Sergeant, another top free agent who hopefully we can get him a fight. And I want to give a special thanks to our sponsors again, Jax Media, Draco Impact Sports, Intimidation Clothing, Crossroader Clothing, Pro-Am Belt, and Christopher's Fight. Kari, thank you for joining me tonight. It's always fun doing the show with you. We'll welcome Matthew back in 2015. It's weird to say. But as for me, Kari, this was Cage Zombies Radio. Check out MMAMadhouse.com. Go like our Facebook page, Cage Zombies Radio, and have yourselves a great night, not just a good one, a great night.
Yes, I like that. I could really get cheeky with that. Lovely.